12 of chapter 3. And in fact, it's used quite a bit in chapter 3. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that, but it's the Greek word enduo. It is the word from which we get our English endued. And we talk about a person being endued with an office or being endued with certain authority or power. And literally what the Greek word means is to be clothed with. In this passage, it's translated on three occasions as to put on. Okay? But it means literally to clothe with or to cover with. The other time it's used is actually in the negative sense, where Paul says put off or take off this particular type of clothing. So we're going to talk a little bit about how Thanksgiving is something that we need to put on as a clothing, as it were, in our lives. The Romans absolutely loved clothing. They were sort of the first big clothes horses in the ancient world. The Persians were not far behind them, but the Romans really took fashion to the heights. They would love our fashion shows in New York or our fashion shows in Paris. That would have been right up their alley. They liked that kind of thing. They were really, really into clothing. And it was an important part of their life. One of the major industries in the Roman world was weaving. And they had lots of different weaving. They were very accomplished weavers. In fact, they set up weaving factories. they were that into the weaving kind of process. They had three different types of loom. One of them you see in this picture up here, which is called a weighted loom. And you'll notice there are little weights down below. And in the foreground, those are some of the weights they've actually gotten out of archaeological digs from the Romans. They used a weighted loom. And that type of loom is still in operation today. Most of the looms that we're familiar with are what are called beam looms, and the Romans had those as well. They had a lower beam that attached the warp to and an upper beam it attached to, and then you had your shuttle and things that you moved in between. They also had a horizontal loom, which was more like a beam loom that was laid on the horizontal, but it had a treadle type thing that pushed the shuttle. And that was kind of a part of their world. They also had a very unique loom that we don't really use today anymore, but it was unique in the Roman world. It was a circular loom. And we actually have a reference to it in the New Testament. In John chapter 19, verse 23, when they're gambling for the clothes of Jesus, it says that one of the garments that they would not divide or separate was a garment that was unseamed or woven completely. That means that it was woven on a circular loom and had seams. So there were no seams that it had in the entire garment. And that was done on a circular loom. So that was an unusual loom. And we don't often do that in our modern times. But I thought that might be of interest to you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand what you would say to each of us this day. I pray, Father, that you will anoint me to speak the words that your people need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is a clothing commercial about kids and the importance of how clothes can make you feel.
It's okay, I know someday I'm gonna be with you. It's okay, I know someday I'm gonna be with you.
Style at rocco.co.uk.
Clothes can make us feel really different, can't they? And they kind of are important in our thinking process and our dreams. Romans loved their fashion. They had a number of different fabrics that they used. They used silk, cotton, linen, wool, nettle, and hemp. All of those were fabrics that they used extensively in their clothing. They were used broadly. Leather was also used, but it was not generally a primary material. It was used as an accent and as a binding material quite often. They wore a wide range of colors. The Romans loved color. I had never understood that, and they didn't really understand that until Pompeii was discovered. When they went into the Roman houses that had been perfectly preserved, they found them painted with bright reds and blues and all kinds of colors. The Romans absolutely loved color in their homes. It was part of what their lives were like. Most slaves generally wore a tunic, and it was of plain color, not very much embellished with any type of wool, that was just for women, very often elaborately decorated, and it could be pulled over the head as a hood. And it would indicate to people that you were a chaste person if you pulled it up over your head in public. But that was a common thing that women went around in public. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 8, "But now you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." I'd like for you to notice in verse 9 where it says to put off the old self, and in verse 10 where it says to put on the new self. That word put off is the negative of enduo. It is basically telling you, instead of clothing yourself, take off that clothing. And the clothing that he identifies that we need to take off are certain things. He also tells us that we need to put on the new self. And there is something powerful about this concept of a new self. In this next picture, you have a Roman woman. And she is wearing a chiton, and under that is under her stola. The blue is actually the chiton on the picture, and the white is the stola. The stola was a very important piece of garment. It was a sleeveless overdress that you wore over your tunic or over your underdress, and that was an indication that you were married. Only women who were legally married could wear that dress in public. It was restricted to those who were legally married. Now, they didn't have to wear that dress in public, but they were the only ones who could. If you were found wearing a stola and you were unmarried, there were severe penalties for that in the Roman culture, because that was the right of a married woman. It was not the right of any other person in Roman society. It was not a requirement, but a privilege. Paul tells us, in a sense, that these things are privileges that we enjoy as Roman, as Christians. He uses that word enduo. It means to clothe or put on. We talk about a person having an office that is enduit. And Romans had clothing with different insignias on them. Some of the insignias identified what you did in life. Certain insignias identified your station in society. Certain types of clothing identified your station. Paul tells us that we can no longer, as Christians, wear the clothing of this world, which he tells us is marked by anger about life. Are we always angry about life, how unfair it is, how difficult it is, how problematic it is? Then we have a problem. That's not a Christian attitude. He uses this concept of clothing as something to reflect our attitude. He says that wrath about personal injustice is also wrong. If we go around our entire lives thinking we're a victim and looking for some kind of repayment or demanding that, then that is a victimhood. And he says that's an attitude of wrath, and that needs to disappear. He says if we are continually having evil intent toward people, that is an attitude that needs to disappear. If we are slandering or using obscenity toward other people to lower their value and to destroy their credibility, then that is an attitude that is not Christian. It's a clothing that we need to put in the trunk and lock away, not to be worn again. They are part of our old nature. Instead, we are to put on clothing of the citizen of heaven. that identifies us as part of God's kingdom. We are part of that which is in God's kingdom. It's not based on our history or our family, but it is based instead on who Jesus Christ is and who He has called us to be. So we are no longer what we were, but we are what He has called us to be. As a member of His kingdom, then, our attitude, that which we clothe ourselves in, should not be an anger about life and about circumstances. It should not be a victim mentality. It should not be someone who is intent on doing harm. It should not be someone who is slanderous of others or obscene in talking about others. It is rather an attitude that needs to reflect the character of Christ. In Psalm 100, it tells us what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. As Christians, we're inside the kingdom. And so we need to dress like we're inside the kingdom. We need to put on those attitudes that reflect being inside the kingdom. I love this particular painting. It's taken from a catacomb in Rome. It is Jesus teaching His 12 disciples. I really like it. It comes from sometime around 300. If you look at the fresco, you will notice that Jesus has a darker skin and doesn't have a beard. He's the guy in the middle. The other thing that you'll notice if you look closely is that the disciples that He is visiting with are from all different racial and ethnic backgrounds. You have black people there, you have white people there, you have Asians, all sitting there listening to Jesus. And all of them are dressed as nobility in the Roman culture. Notice the little stripes on their tunics? They're dressed as Roman, as the elite of the Roman culture. They're on the inside of the structure. The person who painted it wanted to reflect the idea of Christ's kingdom embracing all people, no matter where they're from. And reflecting that they had been elevated as citizens of the kingdom. They are citizens of the kingdom, and we are citizens of Christ's kingdom. We have put on the identity of Christ, and it does not matter where we come from, but it does matter who we serve. It does matter who we serve. And that is why we are thankful. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." This particular painting comes from Pompeii. It was painted on a wall there. It is a group of well-dressed Romans playing dice. And it's from a fresco, probably in a tavern in Rome. You notice that the wardrobe of the lady, she is wearing that long stole I was talking about. That's what she's wearing. That tells you that she is out in public. You didn't wear that in the house. You wore it when you're out in public. The young men that are playing dice with her are also wearing outer clothing, an outer cloak, which indicates that they too are out in public. The man standing there to the side, however, is wearing just a tunic, and it's in a dark color, probably brown, which probably indicates he's a slave. It's an interesting picture into the world of the Romans. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul tells us, or beginning in verse 12, Paul tells us what kinds of clothing or attitudes we as Christians should put on. The first thing he tells us that we need to put on a compassion that is born from our innermost being. He uses two words for compassion there and puts them together, which gives them a real sense of intensity. One of the words means a compassion or a feeling that comes from your guts. The other word is a word for compassion, which comes from the innermost spiritual part of you. And he puts those together and says, you as a Christian should have a sense of overwhelming compassion for other people. There should be a care and concern for the struggles and the difficulties of other people. It's something that should come from the very gut level in our lives. The second article of clothing, he says, we need to have a kindness born of character. This particular word is interesting. It's related to the word for grace, but it also has a reflection of integrity, kindness that is out of the integrity of who we are. It's not a false kindness. It's not a sloppy kindness. It's a kindness that comes out of the integrity of our individualness. It's who we are at our very base level. Humbleness, personal modesty is another thing we need to put on. That sense of being humble. Mildness of manner, we often translate that as meekness, but it means simply to have a mild manner, sort of Clark Kent kind of person, if you want to put it that way, the mild-mannered kind of person walking around in life. Patience, there are two Greek words for patience. There is one Greek word which means patience with circumstances. And there's another Greek word which means patience with people, primarily. Guess which one this is? It's patience with people. Long suffering. It means you're not easily riled up when people try to push your buttons. Okay? That's kind of a good, simple way of putting it. And then Paul tells us that we are to bear with those who are weak. And the word literally means to get underneath and support, is what it means. We are to bear others who are weak. Paul continues by saying that we need to be gracious toward those who complain about us. And it's often translated as forgive. But it literally comes from the Greek word which means grace. It is the word charizomai, And charizomai means to have grace toward others. The reflection is that when people are struggling, failing, creating problems in our lives, that we extend grace. An interesting concept. We extend grace. And Paul says the reason we do so is because Christ extended grace to us. When we were sinners, when we failed, when we made all these mistakes, Christ extended grace to us. So we extend grace to others. This word is actually the basis of the word thankful. The word thankful in Greek is built from this word. It means good grace. That's what the word thankful in Greek means, to have good grace. The most important article of clothing, he says, and he reiterates, he uses the word in duo again. He says, put on love. Put on a selfless attitude of caring about others. And he says that allows us to be concerned about unity. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, it says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for Christ did not please himself, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. If we are truly thankful for what Jesus has done for us, we will change our clothes. The word for thankful in all of these passages is the Greek word eucharistos. It means good grace. It is a term that the early Christians used for the Lord's Supper. They used it because they believed every time that you partook of the Lord's Supper, you were reflecting on the good grace of Christ in your life. Our thankfulness as Christians is based on what Jesus did for us. What he has done for each of us is to take up residence in our hearts. And if that word of Christ takes up residence in our heart, then our words and our deeds are going to change. And he says that peace of Christ will come in, and it will become a referee, or it will rule your hearts. But the word rule there means to referee your heart. I like that. That peace of Christ referees in our hearts. So, as we live our lives, we are clothed with that new identity. And our words and our deeds begin to line up with who Jesus is. That's what it means to live thankfully. In Psalm 28, and I'm closing here, verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. So why are you thankful? Why are you thankful? When we live thankfully as Christians, there will be real changes in our lives and our attitudes. It will change us. And it should. Do you rise with me? Let's take a moment just to tell Jesus thank you. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise and we give you honor today. Thank you, Lord. Change our clothes so that we reflect your attitude in this world and we walk around this world as members of your kingdom that people can identify because of the attitudes we live with. Praise be your name forever and ever.